Pastor Peter Kesarevu and the Fellowship of Christian Churches or Community Churches in Uganda. You know, I've had the privilege of being there a few times now to Uganda. The most recent was in June. I had the privilege of speaking. They have their apostolic team meetings. It was a wonderful time. And, you know, every time I go, I just get a little bit more touched and impressed with what God has done. They have a full-blown university there that is raising up leaders to transform Uganda for the kingdom of God. It's amazing. They have a school. They have 7 medical clinics that they operate, an orphanage, a baby's home, and 1,200 churches in the country. Like, it is a massive ministry. And when I was there, they were talking, the whole goal and thing that we were speaking into was they want to advance into 10, believe God wants them to advance into 10 new nations in the next 10 years and add a zero to the church number, 1,200 to 12,000. You want to talk about big vision? I'm like, wow. It's amazing. But here's the thing. All this big vision, and God has done so much, and yet such a high level of integrity and humility. Honestly, Pastor Peter, if I didn't tell you these things, he's not going to tell you these things. He's going to tell you his story. But I just want you to say, sometimes we don't know who's among us. I always feel that way with Pastor Dave Wells and Linda Wells as well. We don't know who's among us. Great leaders and people who are humble and do so much. And so I just want you to give a big round of applause for Pastor Peter and Irene Kesarevu, who are here from Uganda.
Thank you. To serve the local church.
Yes.
That the local church will turn around and serve its community. The little opportunity that God has given me to come to a local church and be part of the founding of a 15-member group of people to become a real local church. And this church becoming the place of transformation has shown me that transformation actually starts through the local church. I've seen this little church giving birth through Africa Renewal Ministries to a school, a primary school, a secondary school, a clinic which has ended up becoming a hospital, a child care center, a baby's home, a children's village. And the little thing we started here has become a place of life and hope to a community that was hopeless. And as Africa Renewal Ministries has gone on to touch children, we have seen these little children becoming men and women of influence wherever God has sent them. Some of them have ended up planting churches. Others have started schools. Many of them are medical doctors. I have so many lawyers. I have so many social workers, very many teachers. So this is what I've learned. God has decided to invest his energy into the local church. That's why he says, let your light shine, that men will see your light and actually come to the light. That's what I found. The gospel of Jesus Christ, which goes through the local church, has got the power to change communities, because we've seen this working together. And what have we done? Over the years, wherever we planted churches and we felt that we need to extend Africa Renewal Ministries' influence in those places where the churches are, we have made sure that we go and people see the church in that community. My dream is also to go to the countries that are really challenged, countries that have similar problems that we have. God has shown us that it is possible to bring transformation. One of the things that God has enabled us to do is to be a church that plants churches that will plant other churches. As we speak today, Gaba Church is a mother church to more than 1,200 churches all spread around the country of Uganda. It's amazing what God is doing around the country of Uganda. And now we are going beyond the country of Uganda. So our prayer is that you pray for us. Whenever you pray, pray for us, that God will raise the right kind of men and women. We also pray that God will provide, because the needs are there. So you may be out there and say, what can I do? After prayer, maybe God is calling you to be an ambassador. A voice. Maybe you can share some of our recordings. Maybe you can invite one of your friends to come and see. Because when they see, they get touched. And when they get touched, they want to get involved.
Good morning. I always love it when I come to the LifeLinks conference. It's always a place of renewal, refreshment, and reconnecting with all my friends. What a blessing to be here among us too. I love that worship. Did you enjoy the worship? Oh, my goodness. So beautiful. And last night you got to see Moses. Moses, you stand up again. This man is my right hand man. And every one of you has gone to Uganda, you have seen Moses. He has taken good care of you. I got to meet Moses when he was 17 years old. He came to Gaba Church as a young man, and today he's 50 years old. He's gotten married, 25 years of marriage, is it? Yeah, so thank you so much for this church has made him come. So thank you so very much, Church of the Rock, for making sure that Moses is here this time. So Moses, enjoy the cold. So today I really want to share our story. You've seen the video. And many of you have seen, you've heard a little bit of our story. You've heard maybe a different part of our story. You know, our ministry is like a big elephant. So if you touch the tusk of the elephant, you think that's all we do. But we do all kinds of things. But I just wanted to tell you a little bit of our story. And I believe it's going to encourage you, especially as you go into the future, what God has called you. Father, I pray that you will speak to us in these next few minutes. I pray that you use our story to encourage someone today. I see so many young men and women here. I pray that they will be encouraged to do that which you have called them to do, to know that there is nothing impossible with you. So, Lord, speak to us today in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin by reading a passage of scripture that all of you know very well, which is Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 to 10. Let me read it. I'm not going to preach, but I'm going to make a few comments, okay? Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? You shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of joy, shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoiced to see the plumb line in the hands of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth." Every one of you here has read that portion of scripture, haven't you? I want to make a comment on verse 10. He says, who has despised the days of small beginnings? As we come and as we sit and as we worship and as we fellowship together, I know we come from different backgrounds. Some of us have been in this ministry for maybe 10 years, some maybe 5 years, some 30 years. But many times when you look at what you do, you say, will I ever see what I dream about? When you visit a certain church like Church of the Rock, you say, oh my goodness, will I ever get there? Or when you start and you labor in difficult places, many times you tend to be discouraged. But the Bible says, do not despise days of small beginnings. So wherever you are, I would like you to be encouraged. Because God is still on the throne wherever you are. Amen. The next thing that I see in that portion of scripture, he says in verse 6, not by might, it's not by power, it's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Friends, it is not your ability. It's not your power. It is the spirit of the living God. I always tell my story. I'm one of the shyest people that they are on the planet. When I grew up, when I was growing up, I never ever wanted to stand before people. That was something that it wasn't for me. But I always find myself standing before people. And I've been doing it for so many years, and God has come through with me. So I just want you to know, it's not your power. It is God's spirit. So when you start thinking like that, it actually encourages you. Because when you realize it's not you, then your anxiety goes away. You realize he's going to do it because it is his power. The other comment I have for in that passage of scripture is connected. He says, who are you, a great mountain before Zerubbabel? And then he says, you mountain shall become plain. And then he says, he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace, grace to it. I know some of you have got different translations. They say something else. But I really like this one. It says grace, grace, grace. And all of us know what the word grace means. The unmerited favor of God. God has shown me in my lifetime and in our ministry that it is God who can do it. It's not how much you do, but is the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God. God has a way of doing what you cannot do because he's God. And I believe that our pastor, Pastor Ian, preached it so well. When we realize it is the grace of God, we cease to depend on our power and we depend on his own. So to me, that has been very, very, very encouraging to me. Then, verse 7, who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Now, if you've been reading this portion of this book in your Bible, you need to realize that this man came to this city not to build the temple of God. He was an administrator. He finds himself in this city, and God decides that he's going to use this man to become the builder of the temple of God. So naturally, he became so frightened when this was happening. So he says, no, that mountain of building the temple, do not worry about it. Do not worry. That mountain will go down because it's not your power, it is my power. So that's my encouragement to you today, because God is about to do something great in the ministry that you do. Now, what you've seen in that video started long time ago. I was 26 years old before I actually got married to Irene. I find myself in this tiny little village called Gaba, a fishing village, a smelling village. I love fish, but actually I don't like the smell of fish, so I don't know how you can balance the two. But here I find myself responding to a call of God, not knowing what God is up to. And we started with 15 people in this community of Gaba. It was a very interesting community because it was very poor. It was a struggling community. But I had been to Bible school, and I was a good performer in Bible school. So I had got 92% in evangelism. So I'm going to use all the strategies that we learned in Bible school. And we did what we could do. But I want you to know this. It was a struggle. Because many times we would evangelize and people would say, yes, I've accepted Jesus. And then they will say, I'm coming to church. And then on Sunday you wait, you don't see them coming. And I said, Lord, what is going on here? And then I had a small team that we are starting with. And then I reminded my friends, we need to do this every Saturday. We need to go and remind the people got saved that tomorrow is Sunday. So Sunday comes, the people do not come. I remember we invited an evangelist, a great man of God, and he was there for a week. And then at the end of the week, we had 20 people who had joined our little church. We had 40 people that Sunday. I said, revival has broken out here. Friends, 2 weeks later, we were back to 20 people. That's when I realized that planting a church is not easy. It was very difficult. I got so frustrated. I just wondered why I'm in this community. But then the Lord reminded me of my pastor. Some of you have heard my story. My pastor was a prayer warrior. We used to have a Bible study every Wednesday. But this man of God will actually kneel in front there from 3 to 5 when this Bible study begins. He would pray nonstop. This man would put up his hands like this, kneeling for at least an hour. He had his own overnight prayer meeting. And that overnight prayer meeting happened every Thursday night. This man would pray from 8 to 6 every Thursday alone in the prayer room. So now here I am struggling in Gaba. Things are not working out. And then I remembered that that man of God prayed. So I said, okay, I'm going to try what my pastor did. So I started praying. I created for myself a habit of fasting and praying at least once a week. Two older ladies joined me and we continued praying. It was an amazing journey of prayer. And as we continued fasting and praying, I discovered something that I had never known. I realized that we're having some resistance to our community. I realized that there was so much witchcraft in our community that I had not realized. You know, I was naive to whatever was going on. Now, in our little community, next door to our little plot of land, there was a witch doctor. This man had more clients than Gaba Church had. There were people who drive in for consultation from the witch. And I never thought about it before until prayer. Then I said, there's something going on here. There's a place in our area. It's called Chiriambuzi. The word mbuzi means God. So we realized that this part of this area was a place where there's more shrines. And because there were so many shrines where people were consulting, so people nicknamed it a place where they sacrifice gods. Then I realized that the chairman of all the witches in Uganda had his shrine in Gaba. Now I started observing. Before I came, a few people had tried to become a church in this little location where I am. Then I asked around and they told me there's a lady who tried to plant a church and it failed. Then I realized there was also another church that was planted and it also collapsed. I then realized there's a force that had sat on our community for centuries. And this force was the force of witchcraft. So when we are trying to plant a church, we are resisted by the forces of darkness. I know many of you know the story of Daniel. Daniel started praying, and he kept praying, and he kept praying. You remember that story. Then the angel comes to him. He says, from the day you set out to pray, an answer was dispatched. But he said, I was resisted by the prince of Persia. And then he says, after some time, he actually got an answer after about 3 weeks. Now, when you look at it, at Daniel's story, you realize that when Daniel prayed, God wanted him to have an answer, but there was forces around. So we realized that Gaba had been a place of resistance for centuries because there was a territorial spirit that was ruling over the community where we were. I'm sharing this to say this. Many times when God sends you to a community, you're oblivious to the realities of what has been going on in those places. So I realized that our biggest problem was witchcraft. So when the church began to pray and we started fasting and praying, first of all, God showed us what was going on. Then secondly, we started fighting against the forces that had stopped the church from growing. Now, friends, a number of things began to happen. One of them was the witch next door started losing clients because of our prayer. I remember one time we had a Bible study. We were just finishing this Bible study. Of course, we are a very small congregation. The Bible study had 5 people. So we hear some noise outside. We get out. We get to realize that the shrine of the witch doctor next door had caught fire. Now, for them, it was an accident. But for me, God is starting to answer my prayer. Let me tell you this. After a few months, this man's power started going away. The people who were consulting started reducing. And as that was happening, the number of our believers continued to grow. We continued to fast and pray. A number of things happened. The other one was, we actually, at one time, we had these bulldozers coming to the town of Gaba. Now, for those of you who have not been there, Gaba is on the shores of Lake Victoria. So all the water that supplies the big city of Kampala comes from Gaba. So the government had decided to expand the water treatment plant. And where did they go? Chiriambuzi, the place where the shrines are. They pay them off, the bulldozers clear, and then a big water pumping station is built there. I always tell people, God answered our prayers through the government of Uganda. From that time, the number of our people started growing. The church started growing. Something for you to learn, that I learned. There are forces that rule over places. They're principalities. So when God sends you to a community, find out why that community is where it is. Some places it is alcoholism. Some other places it is prostitution. Other places it's politics. Other places it's cults. For us, it was witchcraft. So that was our learning. And that gave us a breakthrough when we learned what God was saying, and our prayers gave us breakthrough. So that is a first lesson that we had. There's a second lesson that we've learned that has made us who we are. It's people. That little church, Gaba Church, it started growing, and as it started growing, God in his own way started doing amazing things. I have this story of a man called Joseph. Joseph was a young man who accepted Jesus. He was on fire. Joseph was on fire. So Joseph goes back to his home village. He comes back after 1 year. So I said, Joseph, you got lost. What happened? He said, when I went to my village, I realized people were not saved. I decided to reach my community. And he said, today I have 20 people. I'm Pastor Joseph. I said, wow, that's beautiful. So Joseph shares the same testimony with our men's Sunday school class. The men gathered and raised money, and they bought him a bicycle. Joseph went back to his home village. His home village is far. It's like 160 miles. So he goes back home, and he comes back again after 1 year. I said, Joseph, how is the church? Oh, he says, I have two churches. I said, what happened? He said, I got a bicycle. So I started reaching the next village. So I said, who is the pastor? He said, I'm the pastor. So he preaches in this church. Then he rides the bicycle to the next village. Today, Joseph is a pastor over 665 churches. That's Joseph. It's amazing what God can do. So I realize that we, as we do minister, we need people. We need people. You cannot do it alone. Now, there's another young man. His name is Elisha. Elisha is a very interesting man. Some of you have been there who have been to Uganda. Elisha is as tall as here. He's not only short, but he's also very skinny. So Elisha came to Gaba Church many years ago. He entered into our discipleship ministry, and then he got so excited. We took him to Bible school. Elisha came back from Bible school. He became the pastor of discipleship at Gaba Church. Then the Lord put a burden on our hearts that we need to plant a church in a place called Rukonjiri. So we said, Elisha, do you mind going to Rukonjiri? Elisha was reluctant. First of all, he had just gotten married. Secondly, this is a region far away from his homeland. He doesn't speak the language. But Elisha felt that he has to obey his pastor. So when he shares his testimony, he says, I did not obey God, I obeyed Pastor Peter. I couldn't say no. So we went with Elisha. We did a crusade. And then after doing a crusade, we ended up with a very beautiful little congregation of 50 people. Today, it's I think 18 years later, Elisha has planted churches that have planted churches that have planted churches. The last count, the churches were approaching 100 of them. Elisha, the way we told him, we said, Elisha, when you go to Rukonjiri and you feel it doesn't work, please come back home. You still have a place here. 18 years later, he has not returned. Now, there is a lesson I want to give to us pastors who are here. Many of your great leaders are reluctant leaders. They have a gift, They have a talent, they have the ability, but they don't think they can do it. But you as a leader, you see the gifts that are in them. So your role is to encourage them, to call out the gift that is in them, but also to give them the opportunity to begin. Now, I have sent a few others who have failed, by the way. And it's tough. But I've sent so many others who have been like Elisha. So many people are called, but many of them are not very sure about their gifts. So what we found is that these reluctant believers, these reluctant ministers, are going to be some of your best leaders. We have another young man who has just gone out this year. His name is Ivan. Ivan grew up in Gaba Church. I think he came when he was in the fifth grade when he joined us. And then he got saved. He got on fire for God. He went to university. After university, he came back and he said, God has called me. He said, oh, praise the Lord. So Ivan has been our pastor of the youth for the last 5 years. Great man, on fire for God. Many of you have traveled to Uganda, have interacted with him. He and his wife, they both grew up in the church. They felt a call to do ministry, to go and plant a church. So I told him, please hang out with all the ministers in the church so that you can learn what it means to plant. We told his wife, we said, you need to hang out with Irene. She will tell you how, she will show you what prayer means. And these young people, for the last 2 years, we've been working with them and encouraging them and motivating them and giving them more opportunity to minister so that they can exercise their gifts. So this year, they went out. They're about 10 miles away from where we are. They planted a beautiful church. Now, before they went, we told the whole church, Ivan is going to plant. How many of you would like to go with Ivan? We would like you to go with him. Ivan is going to need Sunday school teachers. Ivan is going to need a keyboard player. Ivan is going to need a worship leader. And interesting enough, about 30 people signed up to go with Ivan. I was asking Irene this morning, I said, she said, 10 of them have come back, but the other 20 have stayed with Ivan. Now, let me share this learning. Planting churches can be risky. Do you know why? Because some of your best people are the ones who go. So Ivan has been one of the best youth pastors we've ever had. But you know what? God takes the best. But what I found, as soon as Ivan was going, God was preparing another couple to take on the youth ministry. So what I found with many of us, we fear to release people because we fear to lose. But what I found, our church has never gone down. God always brings people back when we release people. So I want to request you, by the mercies of God, be courageous and allow people to rise up and send them. And don't send them alone. Send them with other people. When they go, other gifted, you know, I don't want to use the word dormant, but there are gifts that are seated in the house that are afraid to rise up because there's a very gifted person on the platform. So when these people go, these other gifts will rise up. So that is my call to each and every one of you here. Let us raise people. So the first lesson was spiritual warfare. The second one is people are the key. We have a beautiful network. Our network has got 22 leaders. These are, we call them our apostolic leaders. Each of them is in charge of a region. So I've told you about Elisha, almost 100 churches now. I've told you about Joseph, about 65 churches. Then we have our Julius. The team from here has just been there. Julius, we call him our church planting machine. Oh my goodness. The last count, he had 130 churches. I don't know how many there are now. It's amazing what God is doing. Another lesson we've learned along the way is what we call holistic ministry. When I first went to this community, what we realized was that there was so much need around us. Where I came from, they told us, God has called you in ministry, and ministry alone is what you do. Don't get involved in other things. You are a man of God. You've gone to take the gospel. And that's what God took us to do. But as we started doing ministry, we realized you can't do ministry without touching the needs of the people in your community. You can't. So I would be here in this little church, and a mother would come and has like 5 kids. And then I'll ask the children, where do you go to school? And the kids would say, I don't go to school. I said, why don't you go to school? We don't have money. Then I said, no, this is not right. I kept finding that all around. Until God, in his own miraculous way, got me in touch with Compassion International. And then I asked them to help me. And they said, okay, we'll help you. So they helped us with our first 64 children. The day we started touching children, it changed everything in our community. Our community is a Catholic community. It's a community with witchcraft, Catholicism, and all other religions. The minute we started helping children, the people said, these people are good after all. They used to think we are a cult, which has come to take away people from their religions. The people felt we are good people. So friends, many of the communities that God sends you to have got challenges. And God is calling the church to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Actually, since then, we have a vision statement. The vision statement of Gaba Community Church and Africa Renewal Ministries is Christ-like people transforming society. We feel that God is calling the church to be the answer to the cries and the pains of the communities where we are. So Gaba Church, as we speak, did the child sponsorship, and then we ended up starting a school, and then we ended up doing a high school, then we did a clinic, and that clinic is now a hospital. It was like responding to the needs that were there. Since then, we have continued doing that, and many of your churches have been involved in helping us to do that. So what is the lesson we learn from here? As a pastor, as a church in the community, do not be blind to the needs of your community. There are people who are addicts. Do something about it. You have so many people coming from other countries. Do ministry amongst them. What is going on in your community is important for you to get involved. We are the hands and the feet of Jesus. So we have drilled water wells. We have... You've heard about the child, the baby's homes and all that. All of those are responses to a need that we see. And we say, no, we can't keep quiet about it. Many times we say we don't have money. What I found, God actually responds when we act. He has always done that. And I have so many stories of how God has done amazing things. One of the stories we have, actually, at Bethany Village, some of you have been there. One of the homes was built by a Mormon. Someone told them about this organization in Africa, and he said, oh, I can, he owned hotels. So he said, okay, I can actually build one. Another one was built by Catholic nuns. They had about Africa and about the built. So it's amazing. God can use nuns to help you. Praise the Lord. So holistic ministry is very, very important. Something else that we've learned is what I would call apostolic input. And this is important. When I first got an encounter with Lifelinks, it was through Dennis McNally. He came to Uganda, and for the first time, we learned about the prophetic ministry. We used to avoid prophetic ministry because we feared extremes. Now, this guy comes, and he's doing such a great job. And so that helped our people to embrace the prophetic. Then Dennis brings me over and then introduces me to Lifelinks. And then I got a relationship with Pastor Dave. And then I said, Pastor Dave, you need to come and build in into our fellowship. At that time, we had about 50 churches. So because of having an apostle speaking into our team, we started thinking bigger. We started thinking more strategically. We started thinking about how to create structure within our fellowship. That encounter is the reason behind our movement. We got to know and to see how to operate in the fivefold, but how to create a structure. So it's very, very important for every church to have the input of the fivefold. It's very, very important. They have a way of seeing what you don't see, but also bringing what you do not have. So I want to encourage you as a church, as a ministry, but also as a network, to continually let other people build into that. These days we have our very own Joe. Joe is doing an amazing, by the way, can we appreciate Joe and his team? There are places that we have to go and we need some strong force. And the evangelistic gift has opened cities. It's opening cities. Now God is calling us to the nations, 10 countries. And you know what? We are going to use the gift of evangelism to do that. We are going to use the gift of the apostolic to do that. So let us take or use the opportunities that God is bringing. Two more things and then I'll be done. Strategic partnerships. That follows from what I've just shared. Everything that we have done and we keep doing is because of strategic relationships. What I've found as a minister is that God has put gifts in different places, but also opportunities in different places. We are currently putting up a hospital building, a hospital block. It is 7 stories. 7. But the man who gave us a lead gift is called Dr. Wes. Up to this time, I don't know whether that man is a Christian. But what I know, he loves Christians. He is a man who made his money and he wants to use his giftings before he dies. So we wanted to expand our hospital. And then, because he gave us the original gift and we talked to him, he said, you know what? I am going to give you $1 million as a lead gift so that other people are encouraged to give money. Then he said, I'm going to give you another $1 million as a matching gift. It's going to give you some energy to look for money. Let me tell you this. We need people like those. Because of that, we've been able to do some fundraising because we have a place to start. So, but it all because we became friends with an organization called Children's Hunger Fund. And because of that partnership, they know people we don't know. And we have opportunities. So I'm saying this to say this. As leaders, open your eyes to the opportunities that are there. Partner with strong people that God has placed wherever He has placed them for the glory of God. So I want to appreciate the opportunity that I've been given to share the learnings we've learned from the journey that we've taken over the last years. As I finish, I want to ask you to pray with us because God is sending us to 10 countries in the next 10 years in Africa and beyond. Pray about which country that God will send you. We will partner with you as we go to that country because we believe that God is sending us to the nations. God bless you.